Hi, I'm Katrina Daniel, and welcome to Primetime Crime, a podcast for people who want to know what goes on behind the scenes of the most notorious trending crime stories and what's going on in the minds of those involved in those stories. What are the detectives, the judges, the defense attorneys, and the prosecutors thinking? You'll hear it all on Primetime Crime, the podcast. This is Primetime Crime. I'm Katrina Daniel. And today's segment, active shooter alert in the mall. Far-fetched, you say? Only in the movies, you say? Nope. Happened last week at the, in this case, badly named American Dream Mall in New Jersey. The American Dream Mall is huge, 3 million square feet of shopping mecca. And our friend and coworker Wyatt Peak was there when the dreaded active shooter alert went out.
It appears a gunman or gunmen shot the victim outside the mall in the parking lot area. That wounded victim, who was shot, ran into the mall seeking help. The suspect, or as many as three suspects, were seen fleeing the scene shortly afterwards. Local and state police were notified and responded, as was the ATF. Again, you're looking at a large police response. Given the report of gunfire at this high-profile mall in East Rutherford, one official again stresses this appears to be an isolated shooting incident where the suspect or multiple suspects were targeting one victim. The motive, too soon to know.
My guest today is a member of the team who had a really, really unique experience a couple of days ago. Wyatt Peak, our editor, was at the American Dream Mall when there was an active shooter incident. So Wyatt, tell us what you were doing there and you know, from your point of view, what happened?
Yeah. So sorry, let me just say, this is so funny to be on the other side.
I know,
of
it's
the
funny.
Microphone.
It is. It is. It's funny to be looking at this like it's almost, it's so common we're laughing about it.
I know. And that's the real problem. I mean, that's a larger issue that I don't even know that either of us are really equipped to be able to talk about. But basically, so yeah, I was working an event. I do freelance events, like audiovisual setups for events.
Right.
And he called me about doing this job at the American Dream Mall in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It was for like some real estate gala, and we had to go in there and set up, you know, TVs and speakers and microphones and such for just this gala that was going to be happening at 6:30 or so. And we had gone through a whole day of setting up and waiting around, and then, you know, people started to kind of file into this part of the mall where the event was. And, you know, there's a Gucci store, an Hermes store right next to this place. So it's a very high end mall. And all of a sudden, I was just sitting there, you know, editing another podcast that I was working on, and I got a tap on the shoulder from my friend Jason, who was running the event, and he's tapped me on the shoulder, and I had headphones on, so he just made a little finger guns motion and then point to this other area, and I was very confused, and he was just like, that's his easiest way to describe exactly what happened. So I pulled my headphones off, and I was like, what's going on? And he goes, there's an active shooter, we gotta go, we gotta get everybody going. And nobody heard where we were. Nobody heard any shots or anything like that. So everyone was just kind of confused as to what was going on. You know, we were all just like, okay, all right. And then we just start to kind of like file over towards Saks Fifth Avenue, which was where the employees of the mall and security were telling us to go. And I assumed that was just kind of like their emergency, you know, location for that part of the mall where they designate everybody to go there in case something goes wrong. We kind of all start to finally file in that way when, since we had the AV.
Audiovisual.
The audiovisual stuff. Yeah, sorry, audiovisual stuff. We had the microphone so that we could give it to an employee of the mall to say, hey, everybody go this way. But yeah, we just kind of filed in over that way, went into the Saks Fifth Avenue. They closed the gates down as if, you know, they were closing the mall for the day.
I see.
And they told everybody to stay towards the back.
So they put those wire gates, those retractable garage door things like down?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we were behind a bunch of, you know, we were further back into, like, you know, everyone's been to a department store in a mall. So they're all the little booths where, you know, all the different makeup and perfume sections are. So we were behind all of those. So you couldn't really see us from inside. And we were just waiting there. It was funny that Louis Vuitton closed their gate specifically. Everyone else kept theirs open, but I clocked that as kind of funny.
Yeah.
And we were just kind of there. Nobody was really telling us what was going on exactly, I guess, so as to keep us calm, but also I felt a little worried, not worried by it, but it was just a little odd that we were just all told to go in there and that was it. Nobody's during the entire process, nobody said active shooter or anything like that. It was just go in here and wait until we hear something.
But how did your, I guess your supervisor or whatever, your coworker, Jason, know that there was an active shooter situation? Because it's a 3 million square foot mall. How did he hear about it?
I guess I assume what happened for him is he was constantly communicating with like the guy who was running the event, the you know, the head real estate guy.
Yeah.
Which I assume chain of command, you know, it went from mall employee or like mall security to mall employee, then to the runner of the event. And then it got to Jason, just kind of, you know, the flow of information just went from employee to employee.
So were these guys connected with comm sets, communication earpieces?
It didn't look so. I mean, maybe I assume the security were.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, how the information got dispersed throughout the mall. But yeah, we just kind of all of a sudden were told, and then we were filed into Saks, where we were hanging out for about 2 hours.
Well, it's better than being filed into Dollar Store. Sorry.
No, it's true.
And I would have gone directly to the shoe department.
They were still trying to make sales, which was funny. We were hanging out there and they were like, you know, we were there for like an hour and a half. And the employees were like, whatever you want, we'll see how we can get it for you. You know, like they were like, yeah, it was very interesting.
Wow. You know, actually trapped between cosmetics and shoes, I'm not sure where I'd go.
No, I know.
You, on the other hand, would have liked to have been in electronics. So tell me what happened. Oh, yeah, you guys were there for an hour and a half. How many people were with you?
There were probably about, like, I don't know, 200 people or so.
Really? That many, huh?
Yeah, it was all of us, a lot of the guests at this event, and then, like, the whole catering staff, pretty much everybody like that. It was a very interesting, like, collection of people. We were just all waiting there. And then also the people that worked at Saks that were all just kind of confused and just like manning their stations, sort of like making sure nobody was stealing anything.
Jeez.
And just kind of sitting on their phones and waiting for everything to kind of die down. But we had my friend Jason, who I was working with, has like a friend of a friend that works in the state police around East Rutherford. So he started texting him to ask what was going on because we just weren't hearing anything at all. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jason taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, like SWAT is coming through.
Yeah. So at this point, if you guys weren't getting in any information from security or whomever was around you, you could have just called local police and asked what's going on.
Yeah, no, that's true. And we were like, I called my girlfriend first because I was more worried to tell her than my mom, because at least my mom could look at it as a news story. She knew I was safe. For listeners of the show, my mom's a former newswoman, and that never goes away.
Yeah.
But I called my girlfriend and she instantly started to like look up what was going on, and she was giving me more information than I was getting there. You know, that through that we found out that it was A man got shot in the chest twice out in the parking lot, and he walked inside the mall, I guess, so as to get away from the guy that shot him. The one thing that we were told by the mall security was that, you know, they're just doing their the state police is going to do the whole sweep of the entire building, but it's fine. That's it seems like he was like saying it was standard protocol. They caught the guy, blah 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 blah. Then we find out later on. I found out the next day that in fact they had not caught the suspect, and I guess maybe they were just telling us that so that we weren't freaked out or whatever. Which I don't know. I have mixed feelings about. But they were just were kind of telling us that they're just going to do this sweep and it's a whole thing. But, you know, they SWAT came through about an hour and a half or 2 hours later and, you know, full long guns and stuff. And it was wild.
They were probably busy at another shooting.
Did anybody panic?
No, I think people were kind of, again, it was, you know, it was weird. Knowing how it was, especially for where we were, none of us heard the shots, so it definitely would have been a different situation if we had heard shots.
Right.
But I was with God bless them, but I was with a bunch of uppity real estate folks that were supposed to be having this gala celebrating their sales or whatever, and we were told, hey, there's a shooter, we got to go into Saks Fifth Avenue, and all of them were kind of like looking around like, how crazy is this? I'll get one more drink and then we'll go in there. Like, it was really like they were just kind of like, okay, whatever, fine. And then another funny thing that happened after that, after SWAT came through, finally got to our part of the mall, which was the last, for all intents and purposes, the last part of the mall they were going through. We were being taken out of the building and we had to go down this escalator. The escalator was off and there was this woman in her heels and she was in front of me and she goes, oh my God, do I really have to walk down these stairs in these heels? And I was like, there's someone got shot. What are you talking about? This is the problem. I couldn't, all I could do was laugh, you know, at that specific situation.
Yeah.
It's just bananas.
It could have been a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm sure it sounds, from what I've read from other folks that were there, it was, you know, some people had locked themselves in storerooms and such. We were more than lucky where we
were. It seems like you were in a location that was further away from what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a long day at the mall because we had to set up in the morning and then, you know, the shoppers come through during the day. So we had to just essentially hang out at the mall for a full day. So I'd been walking around. I'd walk by the Foot Locker where everyone was. It was interesting. They had like all the Easter set up, all the decorations for that. There's a Nickelodeon store in this place. There's an indoor ski slope in this place. It's like it's a whole complex.
And it's brand new. It was just done like in 2019. So it should be really quite impressive. But here's the problem that they have security wise. If they make an announcement for everyone to go out through the southeast door at Saks, the bad guy hears that announcement as well. Hello. And if there's anybody in the parking lot, I mean, so their hands are really tied. Not everybody's got, you know, ear communication systems. I don't know how they would do that. That would be really interesting.
Yes. I think once we found, like, you know, when I found out it was a singular isolated incident, I was much less worried. But it definitely, as soon as they started saying, hey, everybody over the microphone, go into Saks Fifth Avenue, I was like, I don't know that I want to, you know, be broadcasting this everywhere.
Exactly. He's going to know exactly where to find you, what store. Hello, and how do you know there's only one? That's the problem with a situation like that. And I don't know how they plan anything like that. That would be interesting to find out.
Yeah.
It would.
But I will say, you know, we had that former guest, I'm blanking on his name right now, but who was the, like, awareness professional when we were talking about
like, active shooter training.
Active shooters and specifically at like synagogues and houses of worship.
Yes.
I remember hearing him say, you know, just always be aware of your surroundings. and to look for any exit or anything that you could, you know, use to protect yourself or anything like that. So it was, you know, standing in a mall, there are plenty of things around.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It was a very, that just popped into my head when I was sitting there, and I was like, okay, where are the exits? Where can I hide around a corner, right, or anything like that if something happened?
Did you feel protected? I mean, were they on walkies, mm-hmm, like the security, like talking to, yeah, each other?
Yeah, we had a security guard in a full bulletproof vest where we were, who looked intimidating enough to feel safe. Everyone, and then also again, it was kind of the vibe where nobody was too worried where we were. They were still late. They, when we finally all filed into Saks, they turned on the music over the loudspeaker, which again, didn't love because, you know, it kind of draws attention, but it also was also weirdly comforting a little bit because it's like, okay, well, you know, they're trying to calm everybody down. So mixed feelings with that. But yeah, we felt protected, especially, you know, they had the gates down. We were farther away that nobody could see into where everybody was. So that felt good.
Well, I'm glad you got out safe and alive, and it has an exciting story to tell, right?
Yeah, it was very interesting. And then, you know, after that, they wouldn't let anybody else. The other interesting thing is we spent another hour or so outside of the Saks, because one of the suspects had a Saks Fifth Avenue bag. So our area of the mall became an active investigation. So we couldn't go back upstairs to get any of our equipment. All the caterers had car and house keys upstairs. And then it became a whole limbo of like, well, how can we kind of like negotiate with state police to get upstairs, to get everything out of there so that we can at least go home? And that became a whole fiasco. But
yeah. What's the latest on this? Anybody been arrested? Any situation? Because it sounds like it was a personal grudge that one guy shot another guy and, you know, the mall just happened to be the venue.
Yeah, and that seems to kind of be the case of how it's being treated in the media. You know, like we all had seen, or Carmen sent some articles to us to brush up on, and nothing had really been updated since Saturday. You know, it happened on Thursday the 7th.
Yeah.
And then nothing's been updated since the 9th. And I just can only assume it's just like, you know, I think I saw one of four that happened in the area this year so far. So like I think they're just kind of, they're probably going to investigate it a little further, but the mall was open on Friday and at normal hours, so they're just
if nothing happened next morning,
which is eerie to think about.
It is, isn't it? And look how cavalierly we're taking this now. And even today, okay, so there's been explosions in Brooklyn, where you live, and shootings in Brooklyn. Having looked at my latest right now, Cameron, you want to check to see, I mean, what's going on?
It's an investigation. They haven't found the person. As you know, New York has a tremendously amazing camera system where they're going to find the person. He was wearing a gas mask. He seems to have been somewhat obese, a shorter man that weighed almost 200 pounds. He had a vest on, from what we know. And he just started, he started shooting. And then when he left, he threw some type of a smoke bomb so that they couldn't see where he was going or, you know, whatever.
Anyway, Wyatt, anything I didn't ask you that you think is important? I'll tell you what, why don't you give people a piece of advice of what went through your mind?
Right. Listen back to episode 90 with Jason Weber to see which safety tips you have. You know, it is really fully know your surroundings. Pay attention to what is around you, where the exits are, what you can get behind. Again, I had a very fortunate experience where we didn't really hear anything too crazy going on. But it sounds like from everything I've read and heard of the people that were in the middle of this situation, they kind of found any place they could hide and then locked themselves safely in until they knew or felt that they were safe. And, you know, hopefully nothing like this ever happens to you. Statistically, it probably won't, but you got to be prepared for everything.
Wyatt, you're not only a great engineer, you're a great storyteller. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, I know we played this episode cavalierly. We took it too lightly, perhaps. So I want to call your attention to a podcast we aired earlier, back on January 27th, with security expert Jason Weber. Go back, listen to it, because who knows what kind of a threatening situation that you can find yourselves in these days. Be aware of your surroundings. Beware of the people around you. I remember a couple summers ago getting on a flight in Atlanta in the middle of the summer. It was 97 degrees out, and there's a guy ahead of me in a really heavy, bulky overcoat. You have a sixth sense. If something creeps you out, get as far away as you can and tell as many people as you can. Till next time, this is Primetime Crime. Thanks for listening to Primetime Crime, the podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Primetime Crime and on Instagram and Twitter at PrimetimeCrime_. Post your comments and tell us what true crime stories you'd like to hear about. Subscribe to Primetime Crime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. Thanks a lot.